Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Before you get too pious out there, everybody here in different times and different states, we too have been on the wrong side of the cross. Don't misunderstand me. We've been over here. Different reasons, different things. We've been over here. For the flesh controls us. We go right back to the right side and confess sin and turn from sin and ask that blood of Jesus Christ to come into our life and to be that anti-venom that sets us back on our feet and sets us free. That's what we have to do.
The truth is, sin is like a venomous snake, and it must be dealt with. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young continues his message redefined and shows you how to not only deal with a believer caught in immorality, but also how they can be restored to the body of Christ. You won't want to miss it next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Redefined, Part 2.
This very prominent person in the church, in the city, is going to be called before the Christians in his immoral lifestyle, and look at the purpose of it. See the purpose? So that he might be salvaged. And says, what do you do with him? You turn him over, you turn his flesh over to Satan. Huh. Some people say that means that Ananias and Sapphira, he's going to die and have physical problems. It may be physical problems, but it's something even deadlier than that. You know what that means? Turn his flesh over to Satan. It means that that passion, that sexual drive that led him away from his wife and his children with infidelity and with all the things, that infidelity that led him into this lifestyle, that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of the life, the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever it was, he says, they're going to lose that sexual desire. Whew. It's going to be taken away. In other words, you have an addiction. Oh, I just smoke 2 or 3 cigarettes a day, and I'm smoking a pack a day or 2 packs a day. That I'd go, sure. Oh, I'm just going to try a little alcohol, and I drink more and more and more. How does it work? Oh, I'm going to experiment here with this drug, and I'm going to control. You see, with all the addiction that we have, and once we have the addiction, and we let it go, and we have this, and we let it go, we have this, and we let it go, and it has this, and we let it go, and then it has us. That's the story of every addiction you can name. So this is what happened. And so he says, just let him follow. Let the results of this addiction take its course. And every kind of immoral addiction takes its course, does it not? Study the life of any individual you can find. It catches up with you. Public knowledge, Bill Gates, now in a divorce. He and his wife are going to have to split $148 billion. Whew. Well, all we know for sure is that, well, once a year that Bill did take a vacation with a girl he was engaged to before he got married. I don't think that affected divorce. Anybody think that had anything to do with their problem? I mean, how? You see what happens? You see what happens? So, if you have this tendency, just turn that flesh over. And then he says, what are we to do? We are to judge as a church this person who was living in well-known incest. How do we deal with that? How do you deal with somebody you know is going down a dead-end street and you can see without being too smart they're about to fall off a cliff? How do we deal with that? Matthew 18. And by the way, this has been done in this church many, many, many times. If there's a moral problem, we should pray and fast and go and sit down with that person and don't tell anybody else. Well, I'm going to talk with Bill because he's caught up in an adulterous relationship. I want you to pray for me. No, no, no. I see a lot of prayer meetings are more ungodly than those who don't even pray. If how you handle Matthew 18, you go one-on-one and with tears and with prayer and with your own understanding that you're not going as somebody who's perfect, and you deal with that in love and in pairs and try to help them come out of the immoral trap. If that doesn't work, Jesus says, then you take two or three others and they go with you and they sit down with this person and they try to deal with them. You see, you don't take something and expand it. And then if that doesn't work, you take them before the body of Christ, the church. Evidently, this is what had happened with this man. The church was so prideful and he was so prideful saying, well, this is not a big deal or whatever. And now they go before the church and the church pronounces judgment. I have never got to that point in my personal relationship in dealing and using Matthew 18. I've never got to that point. And we say they've been churched. It doesn't mean they cannot attend worship. Certainly. And evidently this man, we'll see, evidently continued to go to church. He just did not have a prominent position. So, then we see what was the problem here. The problem was the man didn't kill the snake. He didn't kill the snake. Look at verse 5. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens a whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast in the Old Testament. Yeast, leaven, is always connected with sin. You see it, yeast, yeast, yeast. We know in the Passover, what happened? The Passover lamb was killed, the blood was shed and put on the door, and therefore the death angel would pass over that because the blood was shed. And we see here it says in a later verse, Jesus is the Passover. Jesus died on the cross, and his shed blood comes as an anti-venom and begins the process of cleaning up that venom that's in every one of us. That's the first step of salvation. And he says you have to kill the snake. These California loonies were going to let him out and put him out and take him into another environment. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's not how we handle rattlesnakes in Texas. You can write that down. Yeast. In the Passover, they took any yeast, any leaven out of the house before they went to the Passover feast. Why? Because you put a little yeast in a whole hunk of dough. I don't know much about it, but I understand that that yeast just goes through all that dough and it rises and gets larger and larger. You think, well, your sin or my sin doesn't affect the church? Sure it does. Immorality affects all the church, all the body of Christ. Everybody. It's like yeast. It goes everywhere. He says, kill the snake. Get the yeast out. And then the next thing he says, you can't be tolerant. He's already introduced that in the very first verse of this chapter. He says, I wrote you a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Now, he explains that. Let me tell you briefly. He says, it's not that we don't associate with immoral people in the world. You couldn't live if we didn't do that. Now, you don't just become intimate friends with them and do a lot of business with them. I think that's deadly every single time it happens. But see, God is going to judge the world. Folks, don't get in the business of being judging. We're not to judge the world. God's going to take care of that. Those who are outside the family of God, those who've never been this side of the cross, God's going to handle that. But we are in the church, Matthew 18, to go and try to call those back who are running over the cliff. God did not put these thou shalt not down to keep us from having a good time or fulfilling everything in life. He put those thou shalt not down as a protection for us to have a full and glorious life. Now, what has happened to so many people is that in our sensual culture, we have a tremendous problem in the whole area of sex. C.S. Lewis says, what if you took a table of food and you had delicious food on the table? Man, you had all kinds of things. Man, wonderful things. You had wonderful desserts. And you covered it with a cloth. And people would come and fill a room or fill a large place. And all that would happen is you would take that cloth and pick it up and you'd see a little bit of the food and they'd say, ooh, you'd put it down. Oh, ooh, there's strawberry shortcake. Ooh, man, there's some, oh, that's my favorite. Oh, that's, and you put it down. What if you, C.S. Lewis said, and you would take food and cover it, and all you did was uncover a little bit here and a little bit there, and people kept coming back, and seeing, oh, look at that. Oh. He said, what would you think about those who would do that? You'd think they have a problem with food, wouldn't you? Is that too spicy? You have a food problem. We're either getting too much food or the people are starving. It's food. This is where we are in our sexual world today. Last year, 33.6 billion people. There's only about 120 million in America. 33.6 billion people visited free porn sites last year. One of the biggest business in the world now is pornography. We've all been exposed to it. When children are exposed to it, it is so very deadly because there is that prefrontal cortex right in the middle here. Cortex covers that part of our brain, that lobe in our brain. And when children see pornography, that part of their brain is not developed. What does that brain do? That brain helps us make decisions, helps us to relate to people, help us to run our lives properly. And when children are exposed to that, it is stunted, it is dwarfed, it is confused. And when adults are repeatedly exposed to this, the pornographers say, we're getting more and more vivid. The reason they're doing that is because there's a jadedness and they have to continually become more and more perverted. I looked at this and I thought, maybe this explains. I'm not speaking ex cathedra here or being overly dogmatic. I'm speculating, and it's my speculation. Maybe this explains how a lot of people in positions of power in the corporate world, in our political world, in our educational world, seem to many of us to be absolutely stupid as they're doing everything they can to destroy America. Maybe that prefrontal cortex has been so damaged they can't discern darkness from light and right from wrong. I've almost come to that conclusion. That's my speculation. Because I can't understand how so many people are doing so many things to destroy the United States of America. I cannot even comprehend that. It is wild and hard to believe and to see right before our very eyes. Maybe in all the sensuality that we've been a part of for so many generations now, we're seeing the deadly payoff at this moment in history. I pray that that is not right. But I think that's something to think about. So here we are. What do we do from here? The end of this chapter is so strong. He says, what business is it of mine to judge those who are outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside the church? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. Think about this Corinthian man, so prominent, so well known, proud of in the church, known outside the church, living an incestuous life. Look what he went through in all the humiliation and shame before that body of Christ. But Paul says he was a Christian. How can this be? You see what happened? He came to Christ. He understood the shed blood of the Christ. Paul has already talked about the cross. And knew the blood of Christ was cleansing him of sin. But what happened? We've already talked about in Corinthians. There's a natural person who's outside of the Christ. There's a spiritual person who is in Christ. And there is the carnal person, fleshly person. So what happens? This man ends up on the backside of the cross. Now he is a Christian, but he's lost the protection of the church. He's lost the authority that Christ gives his sons and daughters. And now he is living a carnal, fleshly life, just like he lived before he ever came to Christ and became a part of the body of Christ. He's gone back there, and now his back is to the cross, and he is carnal. He is carnal. He is sensual. He is living an immoral sexual life. Before you get too pious out there, everybody here in different times and different states, we too have been on the wrong side of the cross. Don't misunderstand me. We've been over here. Different reasons, different things. We've been over here. For the flesh controls us. What could this man do? He tolerated the snake. He let it out. And by the way, in California, interesting. Those who came and took that snake had the right kind of material and put him in a container to go release him somewhere else, California style. When they released him up the road, the head person of the environmental agency that protects wildlife saw that big snake come out and begin to crawl right back toward that same area where they captured him, and he went out and killed the snake. He had to go back and answer to the authorities as to why he did such a thing. What do we do here? The snake. The same thing he did when he came to Christ, he goes back on the right side of the cross. And he goes and he, this is what we do when we're caught up in the flesh. We go right back to the right side and confess sin and turn from sin and ask that blood of Jesus Christ to come into our life and to be that anti-venom that sets us back on our feet and sets us free. That's what we have to do. Let me show you. This is one of the most thrilling verses in all the Bible. You say, well, I wonder what happened to this guy in Corinth. I mean, did he do that? Receive Christ? Wrong side of the cross? Did he go back on the right side of the cross? All that he'd been through? Listen to what happens in 2 Corinthians. Same guy. If anyone has caused grief, this man did, he has not so much grieved me, said Paul, as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to affirm your love for him. This man was completely restored in the fellowship of the body of Christ, and that is the miracle of his grace. Now, one question. Does anybody here need to kill a snake?
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you talked about how to deal with others in the church living immorally, but what if I'm the one stuck in that place? Do I have to confess to the whole church to get right again?
No, you confess your immorality in the realm of knowledge. In other words, if you do something immoral that's known by the whole church, it's a very public thing. I robbed the bank. I was wrong, and everybody knows it. You might need to confess that sin publicly. By the same token, if you talked about someone unnecessarily and that was exposed in a very small realm of people, you go back to the person you talked about unnecessarily. And by the way, you could tell you the truth about somebody and hurt them. So I just told, no. We talked about people unnecessarily. You need to go back to them and ask for forgiveness and go to all of those that would have heard that unnecessary talk and ask them to forgive you, that you've gone to that person, you were wrong in what you said, it was inappropriate, and you've asked God to forgive, that person to forgive, and those who knew about it to forgive. Don't take a sin, a small sin in a small area, and just expose it to the whole world. Confess to God, he already knows it. Forgiveness comes in Jesus Christ. Go to that person whenever possible. Confess to them. Limit your confession and your repentance to the area in which that sin is touched. That's a very important principle.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which he wants to build your family and marriage. In his 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to listen tomorrow as Dr. Young talks about how Christians are called to deal with conflict with other believers. Don't miss it tomorrow on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.